And peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Earlier this week, I was trolling through the ELCA clergy Facebook page, which is a sure invitation to depression. We are an unhappy lot. And in one of the posts, someone said, "Hey, I just went for my first interview." This is someone right out of seminary. "I just went for my first interview, and the president of the congregation asked me, 'Are you going to be one of those left-wing, liberal, Democrat, social justice preachers like our last pastor was?' And her question to us was, 'How would you answer that?'" I love this particular pairing of readings. We often read from Joel on this night, but the alternative reading is from Isaiah. And I love this pairing, especially with 2 Corinthians and with this gospel, where Jesus says, you know, don't be like the hypocrites who stand on the corners and say all of these things and do all of these things and draw attention to your penance. And then in 2 Corinthians, I love Paul. He says, in that second reading, he says, "But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance, afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, purity, poverty, patience, knowledge, kindness. And we have heaped it on the world. All of the things that we have done, you see, in order that we might be acceptable to God." It seems like a normal thing to do until you read this monologue from God in Isaiah, who says, "You all, listen, shout out. Look at what I am calling you to do and to be." That wonderful text from Isaiah, God says, "Shout out, do not hold back, lift up your voice like a trumpet." He says to Isaiah, "And announce to my people their rebellion." You draw near to God and you ask these questions. Why do we fast, but God, you don't see? We humble ourselves before you. Why don't you notice us? God says, "Look, you serve yourselves on your feast day. And you oppress all your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and fight and strike the wicked fist," God says. "Such a fasting as you do today does not lift your voice on high." Is that the fast I choose? And then the rocker. And I kind of can see Paul sort of sitting off to one side hearing God. Is that the fast that I choose? No. Is it to bow down the head and put on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what I mean? This is my fast, God says. To loose the bonds of injustice. To undo the yoke. To let the oppressed go free. To break every yoke. Is not the fast that I choose to share bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? And when you see the naked, to cover them? Is this not the fast that I choose? And to not hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall shine brightly. in that wonderful text in Isaiah, it turns out that the fast that God calls us to is not for us at all. It's a fast for the healing of the world. Wouldn't it be cool if you were trying to lose weight and the way to do it was to do good for others? Didn't matter what you ate. But then in the living for the sake of another, the fast takes hold of you and the world. That's the fast we're called to. When we make this fasting and this journey of Lent and this repentance all about ourselves and our own guilt and our own hopes and dreams and our own feelings of inadequacy and our own successes, it's like putting the little weights on the balance beam, a little good and a little bad, and a little more good and a lot more bad, in hopes that by the time the 40 days are over, at the very least, they will be even. And at the very best, tipped towards righteousness. The problem is that in the cross, God has knocked the balance beam on its side and swept it away. It's not the fast that God wants. It's not the harmony or the balance that God calls us to as God's people. Well, that's a radical notion even for Paul, who understands that a little bit later in 2 Corinthians. That all of the things that we can list for ourselves as accomplishments and suffering mean nothing. Nothing in the light of the grace of God, which has already been poured out. So I guess in answer to my friend who I've never met on the internet, if I was sitting in that room and asked, well, are you going to be one of those pastors who preaches social justice like our last pastor did? I would have to say, what else can we do in light of Jesus, who calls us to care for the poor and the afflicted and clothe the naked and bring the homeless into our home and feed the hungry and all of those things that are listed in that horrible Old Testament and in the Beatitudes and in the Word of Jesus? What else can we say? What else can we do? Who else can we possibly be? For the ashes that are the sign on our head are not a sign of our own victory or suffering, but a reminder that the one who made us and loved us first loves us still and calls us into the world to serve it. Ash-covered, loving, laughing, living, and dying. So rise up and shout out this word of God, that the kingdom is come, and the kingdom is come now, for the sake of God. And no power, and no apathy, and no dying church, and no lousy hymn or our own brokenness can undo it. God is loose, and we follow with ashes on our heads. Amen.